And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I say to you, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. That is the law, which is the sum of God's command and will that judges us all as having fallen short and being deserving of death and hell. Nothing in the law will lose its force or pass away until all that is promised by God has come to be. I know that's a little bit of a mouthful, but you can already sense where this is going. For what has God promised that will come to be, and by its accomplishment will take away the terrible judgment of the law forever? Nothing less than Jesus' death and resurrection as the Holy One of God who fulfills all righteousness and takes away the sin of the world. But in Matthew 5, at the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we are not there yet. We are at the beginning of his public ministry. And here Matthew is inspired to set before us the various ways that God revealed Jesus to be the promised one, so that knowing and believing that, we'd receive from him what he has come to bring, which is nothing less than a life reconciled to God. So as always, let me back up, set the stage here. Last week, you might recall that we heard the beginning of this sermon as we listened to the Beatitudes, or the Blessed Ares, that laid the foundation of who it is who would receive Jesus and what they would receive in him. And the epiphany, or the revelation that we had about Jesus being the promised God-man, came rather simply last week, right? He sat down on the mountain and his disciples came to him, just as Yahweh had once come down to Sinai and Moses came up to him to receive the word. And that's our starting point. Jesus is God, and he speaks the creative and life-giving word, but he is God in our flesh. And the word that he speaks is not meant to terrify, but to bring us closer to him. But of course, the powerful of this world, the strong, the mighty, the wise, the somebodies who have influence, who think they are full and accomplished and capable of accomplishing all that they want and independent, these folks don't want much have to do anything with the kingdom that comes to us in Christ. They don't think that they actually need it. On the other hand, the poor in spirit who know that they cannot fix themselves, the sorrowful who are not happy about who they are as broken sinners, the meek who cannot make the world work the way that they want it to, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice and vindication, they all are only too eager to know Jesus as the one who is sent to them with the gospel. And in that, they are the ones who are blessed. They're the ones who receive the mind of Christ, who want to know nothing but him and him crucified, to borrow from St. Paul. And in sharing the mind and the spirit of Jesus, as they receive life in him, as you receive life in his name, we all become merciful because we receive mercy. We become pure of heart because in Christ we seek God where he's promised to be found, so that we might receive his blessing and see him. And we become peacemakers. For as we're restored to true life in Christ, we take his grace and his good order with us into all the various relations that God has called us to. We bring his peace into our homes, right? Husbands, wives, children, parents, siblings, all loving and serving one another because of the love and service they have received and continue to receive from Jesus. We bring his peace here into church with us. And I know that sounds a little odd, but as we live together gracefully, as we encourage one another, as pastors and those they serve live rightly together with each other, the wonder of the kingdom is seen here among us. And we bring God's peace and good order into the civil realm as we seek to serve our neighbors, and as we do the work to establish fair and just laws, and as we do good whenever we have the opportunity. All this comes from receiving Christ and being received by him, because he is God come to us to redeem us. And then that brings us back to all things being accomplished, all things coming to pass, all the things that God has promised in Christ. For until Jesus did all that he was sent to do, the law still stood there, resolute, pointing out our pride, exposing our lack of mercy, our unjust judgments of others, our attempts to domesticate God and place him where we want him to be, our failures to bring peace to all the places that we've been called to, the only thing that could render the law silent was Christ, who took our sin on himself and gave himself to the law's terrible judgment, but who also triumphed over the grave, for it was not possible to death to hold on to God's Holy One. And as he had to rise, so you and I, we who are joined to him, we also must rise above the law's condemnation to be what he makes of us. Which brings us to the salt and the city on a hill and the lamp that gives light to the house. For you all are God's workmanship in Christ, created for good works that you should walk around in them. Now, we're Lutherans, right? We know that the works do not save us. They don't contribute to our righteousness before God. Jesus is the Savior. He is our righteousness and wisdom and sanctification before the Father. But that said, as we share Christ's life in faith, we are going to reflect him. We are going to show his grace and love and mercy to those around us. Why would we want to do anything else? So, when Jesus speaks of our being salt of the earth, he's pointing out to the salutary purpose that he's given us in sharing his life with us. Now, some of you might remember that salt was used as a preservative and even an antiseptic in the ancient world. That is, it was used to stave off corruption and rotting. And you, my friends, are sent by Christ to help stave off the corruption of this tired old world with the good that you are given to do in Christ. But if you lose Christ, your saltiness, how can you serve as you are called to? And you are set forth in Christ to be lights in this world's darkness. Now, note the two images that Jesus uses here. First is a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Now, when darkness falls and travelers are seeking a haven for the evening, what cheers them more than seeing the lights of a city over there? We in the church, and you all individually in Christ, we are to live so that those wandering in the dark would see Christ's light shining here, shining from you and your words and deeds, and then come and find refuge. And likewise, you are lamps set to give light to the house. Don't hide that light. Let it shine. And again, you heard how Jesus tied all of this to the good works that are done through us to the glory of the Father in heaven. These are not works done in obedience to the law to try and earn anything for ourselves. They are good works that flow from faith in the one who gave himself up for us all. So know that Christ is come, my friends. All things are accomplished, and you are free to be his light wherever you are called to be. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.